Good morning, Christian Outreach Center, and whoever is watching by video today, good morning from Christian Outreach Center, at least yes. The two of us, and no one else is here again, which we're very sad about, but we trust you guys are all doing well in your quarantined homes and new lifestyles, I guess, for the short future here, but we're excited to come at mm-hmm. you again, and we've got a word from God for you this morning, and Stephen and I have just been praying and talking about this season of our life, mm-hmm. Which we really have no control over, but we do have control over this, right? We have control over what happens here. And that's, honestly, you spent a whole time talking about kind of the illusion of control, mm-hmm. a couple different
yep.
messages on that, and kind of this illusion that we can maybe control more than we think we can, and that gives us a sense of comfort, but it's really not true. So we've been kind of hitting some of those things head on, and those are unnerving and unsettling for mm-hmm. us. When we, my own mortality or the financial part of my life, or like we want to control as many things as we can so that we can feel peaceful about it, and that's not where peace really comes from. So mm-hmm. that's what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. Other than the Easter service, kind of leading up to this point. And so we wanted to kind of ask a question today. One of the things that as pastors we've been talking about is we didn't have a choice to be in this season.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed up,
yep.
right? In the specifically coronavirus, but we could really be talking about any season. Mm-hmm. We could be talking about a good season, or we could be talking about a bad report from the doctor. We could be talking about mm-hmm. a financial collapse. We could be talking about, you know, a depression. We could be talking about maybe me losing my job for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. We didn't choose to
yeah.
end up
yep.
here, and yet mm-hmm. here we are. Mm-hmm. So the question as your pastors, we've been mulling around in our head, and seems like it's the overarching question that we want to answer. And the question is this: how do we steward this season well? Okay, this mm-hmm. season that we're in, mm-hmm. we didn't choose to be in this season, yep. but we're here. All right? We're here. We're in this moment in history. And so these circumstances of coronavirus, and maybe some of you are out of work right now, or whatever the case, it's been kind of thrust upon us. And so there's a few different ways we can react to that. We can throw fits. We can get angry. We can drive around shaking our fist at things, you know. In probably yes. dozens and dozens more different ways. We can disappear into a corner mm-hmm. of our house and never to be seen mm-hmm. again. We can, you know, we can go into a depression. I mean, mm-hmm. seriously, mm-hmm. Mental health has become something that's at the forefront of a lot of our Christian radio broadcasts and podcasts and articles that we've been reading, because this is it's a trying mm-hmm. season for people. And so mm-hmm. please, if you need to talk to somebody, find somebody to talk to. I mean, certainly mm-hmm. call us mm-hmm. or find a counselor, find someone that you can reach out to if you're feeling destructive feelings or feelings that you maybe can't manage on your own. It's okay to reach out and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all these different ways that we're going to react to this situation, and a lot of those aren't healthy. A lot of those don't produce in our lives what we want to see, and certainly not what God wants to see. Mm-hmm. So our question is, how do we steward this season that we're in? How do we steward it well? Stephen, when we talk about, sorry, you're writing notes there.
No, but, I'm listening to you at the same time. I can do both,
you can do both. I cannot multitask. Stephen can. So as we're talking about stewarding the season, maybe I don't even know what that means. What does it mean when we talk about stewardship?
Yeah. Stewardship is a really important concept, and it's something that Jesus taught a lot of in the Gospels, whether it's the parable of the talents, mm-hmm. whether it's the parable of the sower, mm-hmm. whether it's the parable of the seed. Like Jesus, obviously, he grew up in a culture that was a predominant farming type culture.
Sure.
And so stewardship is just being a good manager, of what mm-hmm. God has given you. God's entrusted you and I with so much. And so he's entrusted us with stuff, not as his means of trying to control us, but as a means of, here, take this, you know, think about his relationship with Adam in the garden, and just what he gave Adam so much freedom to be a good steward. And so stewardship is just God giving me things and trusting me to do good things with what he's given me. And
that's
so it's
great.
What God's entrusted me.
That's
great. Am I being a good manager of what
right.
he's given me?
Right. And so one of the things that we are to manage, not only in this time, but in all times, but especially in this time, is our life, mm-hmm. our spiritual life. The Bible has a verse that says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Mm-hmm. So there's this ongoing theme that God owns everything, even us, and yet he gives us some free will to make our own choices, and there's a beauty in that relationship. And so that's where this idea of stewardship comes in, is what am I doing with God's stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's not my stuff, it's God's stuff. Part of God's stuff is my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I doing? How am I managing my life in this season? And am I managing it mm-hmm. well? And so earlier this week, the Holy Spirit led me to a great passage that I've read over and over and over again, but it really sparked something in me, because I feel like there's some keys for us walking in good stewardship in this passage. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be looking in the book of Philippians. It was written by a guy by the name of Paul. We talked about him last time a little bit. And Paul was in prison at this time. I'm going to read a chunk of scripture, and then we're just going to come back and talk about it a little bit. So in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse number 3, and we're just going to read a few verses here. And it says, I thank God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share, look at your neighbor and say, share.
Share.
All of you share in God's grace with me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So in kind of response to this question, I want to come back and look at a couple things here. How are we stewarding this season? And I want to ask another question. Are we walking consistently? Do you guys know people that just seem so solid? It just seems like they're just, some of that is personality driven, but some of that is just kind of their life. Not that they have it all together, but it seems like they always keep focus. They always kind of are walking in the right direction, and no matter what happens, it seems like, you know, in the good times they don't go off and do stupid things, you know, because life is carefree. And in the bad times, it doesn't seem like they get weighed down and just knocked. And they may have bad days, but it just seems like their life is consistent. And I guess that's part of the question. So I haven't asked the total question yet, but are we walking consistently? Or are we always reacting to life around us? And then this is a throwback to our reaction and response before, but kind of what is the foundation of my life? Am I walking consistently? So if we're going to steward this season well, where it feels like we're more out of control than usual, where less things are manageable by us, even though that's probably an illusion, it feels like we're more out of control. So if we're going to steward this well, we have to be grounded in a foundation that is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
And so I wrote this down. In order to live our lives in response, remember we talked about responding versus reacting? Responded is calculated, it's thought through, it's based on the gospel, it's based in the word of God, it's based on healthy responses versus reacting. In order to respond rather than react, the foundation that our lives are built on have to be of sufficient caliber and quality. What am I building my life on? If the thing that I'm building my life on can't withstand the storms of life, then it's not going to stand. And we see that. You know, Jesus, in one of his parables, brought that up. People building their life on the sand or people building their life on the rock.
Yep.
And this is kind of just extrapolated here a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I really like that, how that kind of finished out there. Sufficient caliber and quality.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Yep. It has to, not just good quality, but if something is good quality, but it's not of a high enough caliber. Mm-hmm. See, the kingdom of God is ultimate in caliber. We can have good quality. Like Jesus talked about building your life on hay, wood, and stubble or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, we can have really quality hay. It can be great quality.
It could.
But it's not great caliber. And so we need both. We need quality and caliber. Mm-hmm. And so we want the foundation of our life to be built on something that can sustain us mm-hmm. through the distractions of the good times
yep.
and through the destructions of the bad times.
That's good. That's good.
We want the foundation of our life to be able to sustain us, to carry us, and to be rooted, strong enough to be rooted on, to withstand the distractions and, you know, the mm-hmm. the pulling away of our hearts during the good times when I don't have anything to worry about because my life is great, or the destructions and the trials of the bad times. And so if your foundation is not strong enough, if it's not of a good enough caliber and quality, you're going to be either shaken during the good times because our heart is going to be pulled away to things that are not of God, or we're going to be destroyed in the bad times because our foundation is going to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
And so either one of those, mm-hmm. and or we're going to lose it in the gap, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
We're going to lose
that's,
it in the gap.
That's exactly where my mind was
exactly.
going. Was
I could see that.
In that gap portion,
in that
right?
gap. We have to consistently make sure that we have the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were actually recording this on a camera, which is sitting on a tripod. And one of the reasons that we use, I have a really cheap tripod at home, and I've got a pretty quality tripod that this thing is sitting on now. Now, we're inside of a building. Mm-hmm. There's no earthquakes. There's no hurricanes right now. There's no wind. But one thing that I do notice is I love outdoor photography. And when I first started, I always noticed these guys would get, I mean, they had really expensive cameras and stuff, but even some of these guys would be shooting, because they always list out what they shoot it on. You know, it's this kind of a Canon with this kind of a lens. And I thought, well, I've got that kind of lens and camera. And their pictures was what they call tack sharp. They're just, I mean, they're just crisp and sharp. And it always frustrated me because I had image stabilization on my camera, you know, and I thought I was doing pretty steady. And so what would happen is you would have a cheap tripod and okay, I'll get my camera on a tripod. That's going to really do better. And what would happen is there'd be a little bit of a breeze and you couldn't notice it, but the camera would notice it, especially for, you know, sunset, sunrise and some of those kind of photos where you really need this thing to not shake. So that's why some of these huge tripods, people have those things so that not only can they carry the weight of the camera, but that they're not affected by the elements around them. And if your foundation isn't solid enough, you're constantly going to be affected by what's going on around you.
Amen.
Instead of you choosing what your life is going to be like, instead of you choosing what you're going to, who you're going to follow and what it's going to look like, you're going to constantly react to everything that's bombarding you, or it seems so weird, but the good times bombard you as well because it's that gap where my heart is prone to wander.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking just along that camera analogy, when you're kind of getting those kind of shots, you slow down your shutter speed, right, to capture more of that. And so when that shutter speed is slowed down, those minimal shakings are much more magnified, and right now life is slowed down.
That's so good.
Our shutter speed is slowed down. Usually we wouldn't notice a lot of what we notice right now because we're just moving fast.
All right, folks, if you tuned in, Pastor Stephen just gave you the nugget of the day. I mean, that is so good. I had actually thought of that a little bit, but I'm so glad you brought that up because, the slower your shutter speed, the longer that's open, the slower it is, the more you notice any kind of anything that isn't solid.
Yes.
What a great analogy. Mm-hmm. How many of your life, your guys' lives are slower these days? Mm-hmm. How many of you, at the very least, your normal routines are disrupted? And so you may have an extra moment here or there, and you start to notice, I think you mentioned it either on camera or off camera, but we were talking about in this time, you start to notice things that are in your own heart that you may not know were there before. You as you're cooped up with your family for longer periods of time, or as you're even alone for longer periods of time. My dad, Stan, always used to say, people don't like silence because silence is a great illuminator for what's in our heart. We don't like the voices we hear inside here, so we like to cover them up. So good job, Stan. That was my dad espousing great wisdoms from the time I was young.
Exactly.
So, and that's so true. When the silence fills our ears, we start to hear what's really going on in our own heart and our own spirit. And so what a great, and it's an indicator of what we're building our lives on. And so I just want to just touch one more of these verses that we just read, but it's in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 1. We read it already, but Paul is talking about how he's got such joy and he's praying for the church in Philippi there, and he's so excited about it. And he says in verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you. Now, just hold on a second. Paul is in prison right now. He's in chains. Think about that. He's in chains. His schedule's a little disrupted right now.
A bit.
A bit, right? He didn't ask for these circumstances, but he finds himself in prison. Okay? He's in chains. But he says this, it's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains or whether I'm out defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share, or some versions say partake, we're partakers, we're sharers in God's grace with me. Paul is saying, these chains, this disruption in my lifestyle, it doesn't affect me. Because whether I'm in chains or whether I'm out there, my life isn't built on what's happening in the moment. I want you to see that.
Amen.
Paul is saying my life is not built on my circumstances. My life is not built on the next 5 minutes. My life is not built on what's going to happen later today. It doesn't matter if I'm in chains. It doesn't matter if I'm out on the streets. It doesn't matter if I'm building tents. It doesn't matter. My relationship to you, even though physically constrained, Paul is saying, I have you in my heart. I'm keeping you close to where I'm at. And not only that, I want to just uncover one more thing that we're going to talk about next. This idea of partnership, this idea of sharing, this idea of partaking together. He's saying that it doesn't matter if I'm in chains or I'm out there or I'm in this country or things are going well or things are going poorly. I am a partaker along with you in the grace of God.
Yes.
And that doesn't change. That's what I've built my life on. So it doesn't matter what's happening on Monday or Thursday. I can respond to that with the appropriate response because my life, as yours should be and hopefully is partaking and built on the grace of God. I love that.
Yes. Amen.
So there's so many things that we can build our lives on that do not offer that kind of stability, that do not offer that kind of security.
Yep.
And my question is it possible today that you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, and that you love God, but that your life is not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? So we have maybe the right belief, and I love Jesus, and I want him to be the Lord of my life, and yet I'm still trying to build my life. And we see that in that verse that we referenced earlier. You know, be careful what you build on. Build on the rock, not the sand. And we see other verses where it's talking about don't build on. It's the fire is going to reveal what our lives are built on. Whether it's built on gold and precious stones and great foundations, or whether it's built on wood, hay, and stubble. And some of the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives right now is getting exposed for what it is. Some of the things are starting to burn up. And so maybe we've built our life on, and we don't even realize that we've done it. And so I just want to give us the benefit of the doubt sometimes here. We don't even realize that that's the foundation that my life has. Maybe the foundation of my life is that everything's going well. And we talked about this for a whole video. I am well because my life is going well. And that's not, it's what happens in a time like this is that gets exposed for the lie that it is. My life is not well. I'm not built on a foundation that's going to survive the fire. Mm-hmm. And so as we're stuck in our homes, maybe my life is built on, I've got great friends, or I've got a great social interaction life, right? I do fun things, and now I can't do fun things, and now I'm in a depression. Like, my life as I know it is horrible now. Why is it horrible? Paul said, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm in the out declaring the gospel, there's one I would rather do, but it doesn't matter because it wasn't my choice. And so I can mourn the fact that I don't have control over this, or I can embrace the foundation that is solid. Maybe my life is built on the fact that I've got enough cash, man. I'm rolling in the dough, and so I'm all right. It doesn't really matter. I'm set. And the Bible talks about the futility of that belief, and how it talks about how money can sprout wings and be gone tomorrow. I mean, we're not guaranteed anything. And if that is our foundation, that is a very shaky foundation, and it's one that's going to burn up quickly. And so there's so many things. We could go through 100 different things that we build our lives. You know, maybe I'm a whatever. I'm a programmer, or I'm a doctor.
Your career.
My career. Yep. Or even good things like my family. my life is great because I've got a great family, and now I've been locked up in a house with them for 73 hours straight, and I'm ready to strangle somebody. And it causes us, and I would say that's a good thing, because it's uncovering something in my heart that, my life was built on my family's awesome and things run smooth. And the first time that isn't the case, false foundation here, or bad foundation, true foundation, but not the best foundation. And so it's exposing faulty foundations, foundations that can't survive the fire, families of God, right? But we can't build our life on that foundation. We build our life on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And that's a challenge for us. And I want to go back and look at a couple more things here before we close out for today in a couple minutes. This idea of partnership. Paul said that in the verse that we just read, verse 7, that you share in the grace of God with me. And there's this idea that we're in this together. And I want to just go back and reread that first section again of Philippians chapter 1. He said, I thank God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. And listen to this. So get this. Paul's in chains, and yet he's offering up prayers for the church in Philippi. He loves these guys. They're in his heart, and he's praying for them. Okay? He's coming before the throne of God, and he's laying out what he believes is God's vision for the church in Philippi, and he's praying into that. He's sowing into that. He's seeding the heavens with prayers for these people. And he prays with joy, and he's excited. Why is Paul filled with joy as he prays for them? I'm going to look at the word. The next word is because in the NIV. It's because. I'm filled with joy. Why? I always pray with joy. I always pray how? With joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was excited about the condition of the church in Philippi because they had a partnership with the gospel. They partnered their life with the gospel. Some versions say partaking, some versions say fellowship. The word is koinonia. And if any of you were Christians in the 70s, you've heard of the word koinonia. That was a huge concept. And it's this meshing and melding of our lives together with one another. And the Bible uses that word quite often. It talks about us having fellowship with one another. It talks about us having fellowship with the gospel. It talks about us having fellowship with Jesus. It's this social intimacy. It's this connectedness. It's a joining of our lives together for one cause and one purpose. And so Paul is saying, you've had a partnership with the gospel. I'm going to run out of time if I don't keep going here. But when I was thinking about the word partnership, I want to give you three areas of our life that I join when I'm in partnership with someone. Think about a business partnership or a marriage partnership. Here's three areas of my life that I join with someone when I'm in partnership. Number one, I join my will. Okay, my choices, my decision, my philosophy we call our volition, you know, volitional things. I choose, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm partnering with someone, I choose to do things with them. So we, whoever I'm partnering with, we work together and we join these three things. I join my will. So my partner and myself, we join our will together to accomplish a desired end, right? If that's a business, our desired end is hopefully a good product or a good service for our community and financial gain. That's what we're doing in a business partnership. If we're doing a service project, then, you know, we want to partner together with an organization that might have resources, we might have contacts, we might have the vision, they might have the ability and the means to do that. Okay, so we're all choosing to work together for a common end. So I'm going to partner with the gospel. I'm going to choose my choices, my will, my volition. The second thing is what I bring to the table is my gifts, my assets, my abilities. Okay, what I have to steward, I'm going to bring that to the table, whoever I'm partnering with. Okay, in a marriage, I bring my work and my money, and my wife brings her work and her money, or her abilities as a mom, or my abilities as a carpenter, or whatever it is. We bring those to the table, and we accomplish the goal for our life together. One vision, one heart, together, right? Same in a business partnership. And Paul is saying, you guys have partnered with the gospel. You guys have partnered with the gospel. The third thing, and this one is really important. This one's really important. The third thing that I bring to the table is my prophetic creativity.
Huh?
Right? It's my imagination and the words that I speak forth, that God has separated us from the animal kingdom in the fact that we don't necessarily have to operate on mere instinct. Oof. We are not animals. If that offends you, I don't mean to be offensive, but the Bible's very clear that we're not just a different form of animal. We're a separate creature. Mm-hmm. We're humankind. We are made in His image. Mm-hmm. And part of that image is the ability to imagine and create a future in our minds and hearts and spirits and then see that played out. Mm-hmm. Animals don't do that. They respond out of instinct that their divine creator has put in them, and you get to see a reflection of that, of this divinity in them, but yet within us, God lets us partner with Him. We get to be creative. We see it in the arts. We see it in the sciences. We see this ability to dream and to imagine and then to speak things out. Words are containers of life and death, right? And so I get to, whatever I'm partnering with, I'm bringing my choices, my volition, I'm bringing my assets, all my resources, my time, my money, my gifts, my abilities, and I'm also bringing my prophetic creativity, my ability to create a future for myself. And I'm joining that together with whatever I'm partnering with. I hope you're getting that today. Paul was excited about their future because they've partnered with the gospel. They've made their choices gospel-based. They've taken their money, their time, their resources, their giftings, and they said, I want to join those with the gospel. I want to join those with kingdom things. They've taken their imagination and their prophetic creativity, and they said, I want to take my vision of the future and my ability to create that and join that with God's will for my life, to join that with the gospel. And I want to just ask you today, what are you partnering with? I'm not asking if you believe in God or not. I'm not asking if you've asked Jesus into your life or not. I'm asking you a deeper question. What are you partnering with? You see, some of you are partnering with fear. Some of you are partnering with selfish ambitions. Some of us are partnering with anxiety. Some of us are partnering with anger and frustration. Some of us are partnering with insecurities today. Some of us are partnering with greed. The list goes on and on. But I'm bringing my choices. I'm bringing my time. Like, how much time am I devoting to just being in worry? How much time am I devoting to? Do you see where this is all going? And then that all ends up in the third realm, in our prophetic creativity. How much time am I spending in my mind, imagining horrible scenarios or coming up with ways to get revenge. Or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What am I partnering with? Because wherever those three things are pointed at, that's a great indication that that's what I'm partnering with. Mm-hmm. My challenge for today is to partner with the gospel, folks. That's the only foundation that is sure and of sufficient quality and caliber. Thank you, guys. We love you. Have a great day.